Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name, and a privilege to be gathered together in the house of God. Appreciated the thoughts, the things we've heard thus far. Appreciated Brother Ralph's opening there, the thought of humility. I believe it goes well with some of my thoughts this morning. I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the message. I want to continue on with the fruit of the Spirit for visitors' sake. Again, this morning we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, going through that list. Let's turn to Galatians 5:22. We'll again read two verses here. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Maybe I'll read on another verse or two here yet. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." This morning we want to look at the next one, that is the Spirit fruit of gentleness. Now, I'm not sure, how do you preach about gentleness? What do you have to say? What is there to say about gentleness? I guess I struggled with this just a bit. But as I looked into Scripture, Scripture has a lot to say about gentleness, about being gentle. Sometimes it uses the word gentle, and there are other times it uses words that refer to it. But somehow or another, Paul, in writing here in Galatians, sees fit to bring it in here with this list of the fruit of the Spirit, the thought of gentleness. Gentleness, in the Greek, look that up. Ponder that a bit. In the Greek, it is translated kindness. I believe we all understand that word. Most other translations outside of the King James Version, you will find the word kindness in place of this word gentleness. So very much seems like they go together. They're basically the same. There's something about, though, this word gentleness that I like. There's something about safety and goodness in a gentle person. Stop and think about that a little bit. Is there an individual that comes to your mind who you just automatically say, "Well, that he or she is a gentle person. He or she is a kind person." There are people that stand out in my mind when I think of that. And I think we all desire to be gentle and kind, but it seems like some are maybe a little more so that way by nature than some of the rest of us. But there's something about safety. As you think of an individual like that, and we may touch on this just a bit later, but you feel comfortable going to that person. He's going to be gentle. He's going to have a gentle response. You're going to feel safe. Well, so there's something about safety and goodness in a gentle person, and there's also something about safety and goodness in a kind person, a person that expresses kindness. So they belong together, and the Greek pretty much interprets them the same. So because of that, I will be using both. I'll probably be referring to it more as a, or maybe you could say, a gentle kindness. That seems to fit well with some of the thoughts that have been laid upon my heart in this. In the 1980s, a man by the name of Robert Ringer wrote a book. How many have read any of his books or heard that name? Robert Ringer. Okay. Don't see any here. This man is still alive today. Maybe some of the titles here that I mentioned, maybe you'll recognize it when I give that. But this man is still alive today. He has a website. And looking at the website, it seems like this individual has a lot of opinions, and he's quite free to share those opinions. Political opinions, humanistic opinions. Some of his quotes, some of his things are, I don't know, they're rather catchy in a way. But they only make sense from a human standpoint of view. And as I looked over some of this man's writings, I come across one of his books. I couldn't really find any time that he mentioned anything about God. But anyway, back in the 1980s, he wrote this book, and the title of the book was Looking Out for Number One. That is the title of the book. You get a pretty good idea what he was writing by that. But Looking Out for Number One. The more I read about this man, the more it became very obvious that this is exactly the kind of man he was. The gist of the book, I didn't read it all, but did read some of the, scanned over the book a little bit and read some reviews of it, and kind of decided I didn't really want to spend a whole lot of time with the book. But the gist of the book is simply that he has written it to show us how we can succeed in life by making sure that we take care of number one. Then 16 months later, approximately, he wrote another book, and the title of that book was Winning Through Intimidation. Winning Through Intimidation. Same kind of book. Well, if you think about those two titles, and I don't know what this man is really like, but as you think about those titles, Looking Out for Number One and Winning Through Intimidation, and as we think of the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit, and particularly the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, well, all of them really, but it goes totally against what we are called to do, how we are called to be as a child of God. Remember that the fruit of the Spirit is exactly that. It's exactly that. It's a production of what is happening right here in my heart, within me. So if the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness or kindness is happening in here, really, it's not about me. It's not about me as a person. If it's in my heart, it is not because of something that you and I are doing, but it's because the Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit is directing my life, and it's there, and we're allowing that to happen. We're allowing that to take place. Now, it is true that I believe there are those gentle souls among us who, even perhaps outside of being born again, having the Holy Spirit, seem to be very docile, gentle, kind, somewhat by nature. I think we find that. We would call them, or their personality, maybe a little more, a little more phlegmatic or gracious. And then you have others that, well, it's just not that way. That's just not the way it is. It can be pretty bad sometimes where gentleness is not a natural thing that happens at all. And so we live in a world where it seems that this man's philosophy, this Robert Ringer, this man's philosophy is followed. As I thought about that, really it's not because they're following his philosophy. I believe he simply wrote those books out of the natural instincts of the natural man, the things of the flesh. That all took place. That all happened. That all went down the drain of spirituality, I guess you could say, when Adam and Eve sinned. When sin came to mankind, we were all given, or now we retain that sinful, fleshly way of thinking where we look out for ourselves and society. The world we live in is just that. You see that, seems to me anyway, more and more, where man is more and more looking out for himself and responds to situations in relation to that, how it affects me. And sometimes I wonder if that's not creeping within myself, within us, more than what we realize sometimes. You and I live in this world. We are being immersed. We are rubbing shoulders with this kind of philosophy. It's all around us. I think it's fair to say that whether you are a phlegmatic or gentle kind of person or whatever, maybe you're a tiger during the day, I think that it's accurate to say that we deal with this same thing. We deal with this with the flesh. But as Christians, as born again people, this morning we are called to be a gentle people. We are called to allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit of gentleness within my being, within my heart, so that it is there first of all, but so that it is an expression then, and it's an expression of the heart. Scripture has, well, there's different places where it mentions. Let's just turn to a couple. James chapter 3, verse 17. Just back a little from where Brother Ralph read this morning. James chapter 3. It's a few scriptures that it talks about being gentle, being called to gentleness. James 3, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable." Then we have this word gentle. So the wisdom from God, the wisdom that is from above, is gentle, easy to be entreated. Mention that a bit later. It goes right along with it, this thought of gentleness. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. A couple of other thoughts, or a couple other places where it doesn't necessarily mention the word gentleness, but it gives that thought. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Just a couple of chapters on, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." We had that thought this morning. Ralph read this verse this morning, I believe. "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." And so this morning, I ask myself, and I ask you, are you a gentle person? Am I a gentle person? Is your spirit gentle with other people? Are you kind? Is it safe for others to come to you? Is it safe for your children to come to you? Is it safe for your friends to come to you and be able to share their heart? Or are people afraid of who I am? Are they afraid of my response, how I'm going to respond to that, my reaction? Think about that. If you're not a gentle person, what effect does that have on those around you? What effect does it have on your family, on your life, your own life, on your friends? Do you have deep friendships? Do you have good relationships, or are they just kind of kind of on the surface, if it is just surface, is it because? Is it possibly because you are not a gentle person? Or that fruit, that part of the fruit of the Spirit, is not being grown very well. It is not growing very well within you. Well, we're going to look at a passage. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a passage that brings out some things that can hinder the growth of this fruit. A number of things here. I wasn't exactly sure where to start reading, but I'm just going to read a number of verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe I'll begin reading verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then we come to verse 30, and it says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Right there, I believe, is our connection. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. There is the connection with what we are talking about today, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul is admonishing us, and this whole chapter is talking about the way we ought to live. But I find it interesting that the last several verses in of this chapter, he talks about specific things that can hinder us. And I'd like to call it simply the poisons in our lives that can be there. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he goes on in verse 31 and mentions a number of things. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind. Here is the word kind. Be ye kind or gentle one to another. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So the theme that we want to focus on out of this passage is simply, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. What does that mean? How can I be kind and tenderhearted? How do I become that? How do I become an individual where kindness and there's tenderheartedness there, that those around me can feel welcome to come? And that will be the expression. If this is the fruit of the Spirit and it's being produced in me, how does that work? And what happens when I become that way, when I become kind and tenderhearted? What happens when I become aware that in my life I need to change some things, that maybe there are some people that don't feel safe with me? What happens? Maybe my wife comes and says, you know, it just doesn't feel safe for me to come and point some things out to you. I trust it's not that way, but maybe that is the case. Maybe you catch on that your family, your children, don't feel safe in coming to you. They fear your response. Maybe it's your employees. Maybe it's those that you are working with. Maybe they don't feel safe in coming to you. Or right here in the brotherhood, right here amongst brothers and sisters, fellow believers, somehow I'm just not a safe person. What happens when I all of a sudden begin to understand that things need to change, and I do change, and I become a tender-hearted and kind person? Well, all of a sudden, it's good to be with that individual. It's good to be with you. It's good to be with me, and it's safe. But what are some things that hinder that? What are some things that keep us from being like that? Let's go through this passage, the last number of verses, I guess. The thing I want to look at here, and I mentioned it already, is hindrances to gentleness and kindness. Look at a number of, I think maybe I have six things here. Again, verse 30 is our connection. Here is the Holy Spirit that produces in us a fruit. And then verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." I have six things listed here that keep us from being a gentle and kind people. The first thing I want to think about is bitterness. Are you a bitter person? Is bitterness a part of your life? We probably all have seen, we've been around people where it was obvious that bitterness was very much a dictating part of their life. They were carrying around bitterness. When we become bitter, Scripture refers to it as a root of bitterness, and it says that many are defiled by that root of bitterness. Again, we've been around individuals where we feel like this is possibly the case. Does it feel good? Does it feel comfortable? No. Maybe we've recognized it in our own life, and we've seen this. Bitterness can be spewed out in so many ways. I can have a bitter attitude. I can actually say bitter words. All of that. Expressions of bitterness. And so this morning, if you find that you are bitter about something, then check yourself, check myself, and let's start asking questions like, do people shy away from me? Do I have any close friends? Things like that. More could be said about that. But then it goes on, then it says wrath and anger. Do we deal with this thing of wrath? Losing your temper and just blowing it, throwing the hammer through the wall, just furious. I hope not, but there are those situations where that is the case. Wrath, screaming at the top of your lungs, angry, vengeful. Most of us would say that's not me. I'm not that way. That's not what I do. But to some people, anger and wrath is a huge part of their life. Then it says clamor. To look a little bit as to what that might mean, what all clamor might mean, a number of things that could come out of that. But do you feel like you have to always be right? You clamor. You enjoy, there's nothing more that you enjoy than a big argument. You will argue until it's done, and then you'll keep on arguing. And if you can have more than one person in the corner, that's even better. Clamor, just wanting to be heard. Rioting. I don't see any of us just rioting. What about evil speaking? Talking nasty about someone. Backbiting. Gossip. Slander. Talking. Maybe it does come out in a in a gracious, somewhat of a gracious, gentle appearance. But we talk here to this person, and we go over here and talk to this person, and we'd like to think that we're doing it for a good cause. Well, what motivates us to do that? Is it possibly wanting to be accepted? What are our motives behind those things? All of these things that are listed here are poisons that keep us from keep the Holy Spirit out of our life, and that expression of gentleness. It keeps us from being gentle, a gentle and kind people. It says we should put it away with all malice. Malice is ill intent. Is it easy for us to have ill intentions? Do you plan to get revenge, malice? We have these revengeful attitudes. Maybe we wouldn't outright do exactly what we're thinking, but we sure have thought about it plenty on, you name it, maybe how it would be nice to put out something, do something to force the people to slow down going past your place. That's something that I've thought about already. Well, how can I do it? Oh, I'd be just wonder what it'd look like to put a board out with nails in it. Do we think about that? Revengeful. Do we have those attitudes? No, we wouldn't do it. See what I mean? Malice. It is our flesh that comes up, and the Holy Spirit then lacks the power. Because we are yielding to those things, the Holy Spirit lacks the power to bring out the fruit of gentleness. Verse 30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." But when we allow that to happen, when we yield our flesh, yield to those things, again, then gentleness and kindness is not a part of us. The Holy Spirit, combined with faith, produces in us this fruit. In faith, it says. Faith in what? It says here in this passage that Christ gave himself for us. The Holy Spirit runs in channels of faith. Without faith, it says, it is impossible to please God. And so faith in the fact that Christ died for me. I trust that I have confidence that he saved me from my sins. And I live in that faith. I live my life of faith so that my fleshly desires, those poisons that I have, the anger, the wrath, the malice, all of that, I turn it over to him. Sure, what the right word is here. I entrust it to him. I confess those things. I give those over to him in faith. And by that, the Holy Spirit then can say, I will empower you. I will empower you to live in the fruit, to produce this fruit of gentleness. You will become a gentle person. Christ died for us, and the Spirit works that way. So if you find yourself not being very gentle, ask yourself, why is the Holy Spirit not able to produce that fruit in me? Is it possibly because I'm not living in faith? Am I not continually confessing, living a life of repentance? It has been said that a godly man has lots and lots of marks of repentance. Well, what does your life look like? The depth of the Holy Spirit's gentleness and kindness. And here I would like to bring our attention back to, how deep does this go? How deep does this gentleness, this tenderness, and this kindness go? I believe it goes into the depths of our heart. And I think I said this earlier. You know, we can't produce it on our own. It has to be a heart-level change, and that only happens when I confess properly, confess my weaknesses, my failings, and I in faith accept that God has forgiven me, and through that, then the Holy Spirit empowers me to live a life of victory, live a life of faith. So kindness, gentleness and kindness go as deep as the heart can go. It can't be produced by yourself. So tenderness, what does that mean? I believe it simply means that you're easily touched. You're easily touched by, maybe it's tender things, by others' hurts. Those around us that have hurts in their lives, are we easily touched by that? That causes us to want to reach out and be an encouragement. Others' trials. You're easily touched by their joys, rejoicing with individuals that are rejoicing. You are concerned about who individuals are. You don't look at yourself. It becomes a character quality of the Spirit in your life. Is it hard for me to be tender? Is it hard for me to love properly? Chapter 5, verse 2 talks about that. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Are you afraid of love? Maybe it is because the spirit fruit of gentleness is not being produced. The depth of your and my gentleness is shown by how well I love and how well I forgive others. We have that here in our passage. It says, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What does that look like? What does that, when we become deeply tenderhearted and we forgive as God forgives, what is that going to look like? Thought about that a bit, a number of things that I thought of. Number one, I believe God's forgiveness takes sin seriously. It takes sin seriously. And we talked just a little bit about forgiveness in a Sunday school lesson, but sin is not overlooked. No, it's not. It is not overlooked. It is taken seriously. Acknowledgement needs to be made. Acknowledgement is made of that sin. It is not brushed over. But when that person comes to you and asks for forgiveness, what is your response? Is it gentle? Is it kind? Is it how Jesus responded to those things? When that person comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you look at him or her and you say, I forgive you. And it's gone. That weight is gone. And you forget. Yes, there are things that go along with that. Consequences at times cannot be totally erased. But it's gone. The weight of it is gone. That is the way God looks at it. God forgives us as far as the east is from the west. So forgiveness is very much a part of gentleness. The second thing I thought about what it looks like, this thought of forgiveness, is forgiveness settles the account. I mentioned that a little bit already, how it's gone. It's easy. Is it easy for you to settle the account when someone comes to you and you have been wronged? Is it easy for you to mark his chart mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as complete? It's full. There's nothing. God restores the account. It is now complete. Then the third thing, God's forgiveness is costly. It is. It cost him his son. And your forgiveness costs as well. Maybe it costs you that we could say that sweet taste of revenge. Well, if you truly forgive, you will not want to have revenge. It will not be there. You will not want to have the pleasure of holding a grudge or the pride of superiority. We have to lay down ourselves. God's forgiveness is real. And a gentle person's forgiveness is that way as well. It's not a sham. God's forgiveness is not a sham. It is not something that is not genuine. It is genuine. Is your forgiveness that way? When we become deeply tenderhearted, we love as Jesus loved. We take time to hear those who are downhearted. We take time to listen to the ones that are struggling. We take time to put our arms around those who have just had misfortune. We shed tears with them. gentleness. When we become deeply tenderhearted and kind, we care in those ways. Those are expressions that come forth. You know, we're talking about strength here. Really, there's strength about this. We're talking about a strength that is beyond strong. Tenderheartedness and gentleness and kindness has something about it that is strong. Jesus Christ is our example. Jesus was tender. You don't have to look very far in Scripture when he was here on this earth to see that. He was tender and kind and gentle to all those he met. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." That's how he was addressing these people, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And Isaiah talked about Jesus. He said, Isaiah 42 verse 3, he says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And it goes on to say then that he will heal. He will touch the lives of people. And it says further on, I believe in that chapter, that the Gentiles will believe in him. And so as we think about being gentle, the spirit fruit of gentleness, the portrait of Christ, and how he demonstrated all of that, even to us today, when he was here on this earth, he did not assert himself. I think there's just a lot of lessons that we can learn as we look at Jesus' life here on earth. He did not assert himself, but he brought about healing and comfort. He was kind and gentle, and he still is today. In closing, I want to read a story that illustrates what it means to be like, to be Christ-like and gentle and kind, the spirit fruit of gentleness. A number of years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night dinner. In their rush through the crowded concourse, their boarding passes and briefcases in hand, one of the men inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere, and without stopping and looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding, all but one. He paused, took a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his friends to go on without him. He waved goodbye and told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination, explain his taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor, and he was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, and tears were running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her. No one was stopping, and no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt down on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, and put them back on the table and helped her organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket, and when he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did." And then he asked her, "Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears, and he continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him. She said, "Mister." He paused and turned and looked back into those blind eyes, and she continued. She asked, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and gently went back and said, "No, I'm nothing like Jesus. He is good. He is kind. He is caring, and he is loving, and he would never have bumped into your table and tipped it over." The girl gently nodded, and she said, "I only asked because I prayed for Jesus to help me gather the apples, and he sent you to help me. So you are like him, and only he knows who will do his will. Thank you for hearing his call." And then slowly he made his way to catch the late flight with that question burning in his mind, "Are you Jesus?" So this morning, I just ask each of us the question, are you gentle? Am I gentle? Am I tender-hearted? Do those around me, my employees, my family, I asked some of these questions already, your church friends, do they know that you are gentle, easy to be entreated, can be approached, you're without hypocrisy? May we this morning grow in this. It's my desire to grow in this area of gentleness and be more like Jesus in this area. And I trust that is each of our desire. Let's kneel for prayer.